anyways, that dollar offering that we're doing, our rep from Oregon, Brian Eno, all the churches, Assembly of God churches in Oregon, are taking an offering for this playground, and they're wanting to build it. And isn't it amazing that the mayor of Moscow approached this guy, and he said to them, he said, everything that we do in our city, you have to pay for. You know, going to any place, they have to pay for. And he said, I've noticed that everything that you guys do is free. You don't charge people for it. And he said, would you be willing to do this playground and then just let kids come and play on it? And they said, we'll do that. And so it's a big deal. And so anyways, Pastor Jeremy, thanks for sharing that. And is that yours?
It's my gum.
Oh, it's your gum? Oh. Did anybody notice Gretchen's up here with me today? She's a nice girl. And, you know, I said in the first service that Gretchen and I met when she was 13 and I was 16. And I said I wouldn't tell how old we were when we got married, but Gretchen was 17 for 2 weeks and I was 19. And don't do that. Don't do that, okay? Just don't do that. But anyways, this year will be 38 years for us that we had been married. Anyway, she's been a huge blessing to me, and the reason that Gretchen is going to share with us today and is up here helping me today is, you know, we've been on a series talking about the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit is, what the Holy Spirit does in our lives, and Pastor Jeremy started out with it. You preached the first message a few weeks ago. I followed up with one. I did. You did. Then we had Mother's Day. We're in this installment today. We're going to talk about the language of intimacy today. And then next week, Pastor Jeremy, I think, is going to finish up on this. And sometimes these series kind of are like gum. They get bigger as you chew on it, you know, and stuff. But anyways, I think Pastor Jeremy is going to finish up next week with a message about hearing the voice of the Spirit. And a lot of people say, I've never heard God speak to me. Well, I can just tell you, if you're a Christian today and you love the Lord, you heard God speak to you. Because the Bible says this, that no man comes to the Lord, no woman comes to the Lord except the Spirit of God draw them. And so you have heard the voice of the Lord, and he has called you to himself. And so anyways, we're thankful that you're here today. But this topic that we're talking about this morning, and you know, just to be clear, is in the Bible. And one of the things that that Pastor Jeremy shared in the message he preached a few weeks ago, he made this statement. He said, you know, most of the time when you talk about God, everybody's good because everybody believes there's some sort of a higher power, whether they're Christians or whatever. Most people believe that there's a God. Sometimes when you talk about Jesus, things get a little bit weirder because a lot of people believe that Jesus was just a prophet, that he was just a good guy. Well, the Bible says that Jesus was the Son of God. He came to this earth, died on a cruel cross for your sin, for my sin, was crucified on a cross, was resurrected, and now is at the right hand of the Father. And so one of the things that we know is that it's through Jesus that we have an opportunity to know God personally. It's through the blood of Christ. And so when we confess our sins, the Bible says this, that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be what?
Saved.
Okay, so, and then in 1 John 1, 9, it says that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so to know Jesus, and so those of us that are probably here this morning believe in Jesus Christ, and I'm thankful for that. But sometimes when we talk about the Holy Spirit, people get a little weird, you know, and people get a little bit psyched out about talking about the Holy Spirit. But can I just tell you that the Holy Spirit is a part of the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He's a part of the triune Godhead. You know, he was with God from the very beginning. He's not an it. He's a him. He's a person. And the Bible talks about him in the book of Genesis, right in the very beginning, that and the Spirit hovered over the waters when God was getting ready to create. And so the Holy Spirit is active in our lives today. We know that Jesus said in John 14, 15, and 16, he said it's necessary and it's for your benefit that I go, because if I don't go, the Holy Spirit can't come. And he was encouraging the disciples, talking about his crucifixion and knowing. And he says, and when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to remind you of all the things that I taught. He's going to be your comforter. He'll be your counselor. He's going to be the paracletos. That word means the one who comes close, that is near us. And so to receive Jesus Christ, we receive the triune Godhead. We receive Jesus, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So he lives in us, he dwells in us. If we know Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, he's in us. So this morning, this topic that we're going to talk about speaking in tongues. We're going to read what the Bible says. And so I pinned down some notes here that I want to talk about, then we're going to pray, and then we'll get started on this. But Redmond Assembly of God, and I know many of you, some of you may be new with us today, some of you have been here for a long time, but the thing about Redmond Assembly of God is we're a Pentecostal church. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But with that being said, can I just tell you that being a Pentecostal church doesn't just mean that we have a message in tongues and an interpretation on a Sunday morning. There's a lot more to being a Pentecostal church. What does it mean to be a Pentecostal church? It means that people are coming to know Christ. That people are being baptized in water and in the Holy Spirit. People are being discipled. They're learning to use their God-given gifts and their talents for the Lord, both inside the church and outside the church. People are growing in their relationships with Christ, and they're being witnesses of God's grace. One thing that every single person in this room needs, and you might disagree with me with this morning, but I believe this with all my heart this morning. There's three things that everyone in this room needs this morning. We all need love, we need acceptance, and we need forgiveness. You know, and we need to accept each other. And I don't care which walk of life we've come from. Can I just tell you that God values people? People are important to Jesus. And I don't care, you know, you can be the worst sinner or the best Christian. God loves us all the same. And I'm thankful for that. And so God values people. We value people here. We all need love, acceptance, and forgiveness. And we need who Jesus is. But can I just say this as we begin this morning, that we determine our level of intimacy with God, not God. Did you catch that? We're the ones that determine our level of intimacy with God, not him. He's already done everything he's going to do. He's opened the door, and he has bid us to come to himself. You know, he is waiting, he's calling us, he's drawing us to himself, and so it's up to me to decide how close I want to be to the Lord, how much of God that I want. In James 4:8, it says, draw close to God, and God will draw close to you. And that's in the New Living Translation. But here's what I know this morning, and I know that, you know, sometimes when we have this conversation about tongues and what the Bible says, you know, here's what I know this morning is that we'll never be blessed by something that we don't believe. And we look at the scripture and we look at things, and the Bible says this: without faith, it's impossible to believe God. It's impossible to please God, sorry. That those that come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Well, can I just tell you that to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, it's by faith. You know, it's by faith that we do that, and it's by faith that we believe the word of God. So I say that to say this, that what's happening in our church culture today is that too many Christians, now hear me carefully when I say this, that too many Christians today interpret the word of God through their own experiences rather than allowing God's word to dictate their experiences, okay? And I think that that's an important thing for us to remember. So today we're going to delve into this topic, as we have been in the series for the last several weeks, about speaking in other tongues. It's not my purpose this morning to share with you my opinions. It's simply to lay out before us what God's word says about the subject of tongues. So what I'm sharing this morning is not something that should freak us out. And some of you are already maybe a little bit edgy and going, oh, you know, listen. I was filled with baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues when I was in the sixth grade. It's been a really important part of my life over the years. But a lot of people have misunderstood what the Bible says about speaking in tongues. And so here's what we're going to do today, and I want to start out how we're going to finish today. There's four reasons that are listed in the scripture for the use of tongues. Two of those are for a public use, two of them for a private use, and we're going to talk about that. And that's what our hope is by the end of that we understand what the Bible says about the public use of tongues and the private use of tongues, and we're going to share that. But sometimes I just simply want God this morning to speak to our hearts, and I want everything that God wants for me, and I want you to have everything that God wants for you. So I don't believe that. What the scripture says on this topic or any other, if I don't believe what the scripture says on this topic or any other topic, then I won't be able to benefit and be blessed by what the Holy Spirit's trying to do in our life. So, anyways, if you're a little on the edge right now, listen, it's okay. Take a deep breath. I'm not weird and wacky, okay? I'm just a normal dude, okay? I love God with all my heart. So let's get going. In Acts chapter 1, we're going to pray. And that's what it says. Always pray before you read the word. Jesus, thanks for today. Lord, thanks for the precious people that are in this room. God, Gretchen, I love this church. Lord, these are precious people to us. God, they're more than friends, they're family to us. And Lord, we want what you want for us individually and for this church. And so, Lord, today we're asking you, Holy Spirit, to work in our hearts, deep into our hearts, and help us to answer some questions that might have been confusing to people over the years, that God, that we'll look at your word and that we'll glean your truths from it today to see what you have to say about this. And God, again, it's not my or Gretchen's opinion today. God, it's simply what your word says. And Lord, we trust you for that, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, it tells us, on one occasion, while Jesus was eating with them, he gave them this command. He said, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So after Jesus is raised from the dead, he's speaking to his disciples, and he commands them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. So in this, we notice that this was not a request. He wasn't saying, "Hey, if you guys think about it." He was commanding them, saying, "Hey, listen, you know, you need to stay here until you're endued with power from on high." He tells them that they will be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that very word baptized means to immerse or to submerge. In Acts chapter 2, we see how this promise and what the Lord was talking about right here begins to unfold. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 6, it says, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly the sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in their own language." Now we know that on that day of Pentecost, Peter stands up, he begins to preach, and he says to them, "These men are not drunk as you suppose, but they are fulfilling what the prophet Joel spoke," and we'll read that scripture in just a minute. But before we go into that, the thing and the reason that Gretchen and I wanted to share this message with you together is because I've been a church boy my whole life. Now, you guys know that there was a portion of time in my high school years until I was 21 that I was away from the Lord, and then I recommitted my life to Christ when I was 21. I'm sitting next to a girl that was not churched. She always teases me because she grew up three blocks away from the church that I grew up in, and she always says, "I'm the bus kid that your church never reached," you know, and it is bad. And but anyway, she was unchurched, and so Gretchen's perspective of this, because I grew up in church, I grew up in a Pentecostal church, you know, where the gifts of the Spirit were in operation, where things were happening and different things. And can I just tell you, when you're around it, when you're a kid and you grow up in it, you're just used to it. It's not a big deal to you. And, you know, we're taught God's word and what God's word is. But Gretchen was probably 15 or 16 when she had
freaked out.
When she had her first freak out session about the Holy Spirit. So I'll let her talk to you about that.
Okay. Well, that's why he asked me, and I am freaked out right at the moment. Not because of the subject. Talking about the Holy Spirit brings a lot of comfort to me, but I don't do this. So pray for me. So thank you. He did already, too.
I did.
But he wanted me to share a little bit from my experience, because we did grow up really differently in the same town. I didn't really go to church on a regular basis, but we went on Christmas and Easter, and I didn't go to a Pentecostal church, but I believed the Bible, and I believed in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but I had never heard any talk about speaking in tongues. We didn't even whisper amen in our church, you know, when I went. It was just very solemn, very quiet, very respectful. But I had a girlfriend in junior high. We were really close, and she kept bugging me to come to church with her. And she would say, "You need to come. I think you'd really like it. The Holy Ghost just moves." Well, I didn't have any frame of reference for that. And so I grew up. Did anybody else grow up in the Casper the Friendly the Ghost era? Okay, well, that was about what I knew of ghosts and haunting ghosts and things like that. And so it freaked me out, the idea of a ghost moving around in this service. And I wouldn't go with her. That was actually your church.
Yes, it was.
It was. We could have met at 12. So some of you have heard his version about the first time that he took me to church, but today you get my side of the story. So, but I just, I wrote a note because this is really important to me. I want you to know that at the center of my heart, I am not trying to just be funny or mock anything. This is a real story about the first time I experienced this, and without any understanding or explanation of what was going on. So, imagine me at 15 or 16, and I'm really nervous to go to church with his family for the first time. I remember that everything was new. People talked out loud and said amen and laughed during the announcements, and it was just really different. I really liked the music, and people were nice and friendly. It was just really different. And I remember there came this lull in the service when everybody had their eyes closed and they were looking for, or, you know, face forward. And all of a sudden, of course, right behind me was this guy just starts shouting out loud. And it scared me, it startled me. And I turned around, and he was an older gentleman that was, he was short, and his head was mostly bald. And I remember that because he just turned dark red. His head was dark red, and he had both hands in the air, and they're shaking, and he's yelling. And he's got his eyes closed, but it, his prayer, he gobbled like a turkey. I am not kidding you. Am I kidding?
No.
It was... But I've never heard it since. But anyway, it just startled me, and I think, oh, this poor man, he's having a stroke. There's your pastor's wife. Confessions 101. But I had no idea what was going on. I had no frame of reference for this at all. And so I'm looking around, and everybody has their heads bowed and their eyes closed, and there's no one coming to his rescue. And I literally turned a full circle in the pew wondering, I don't understand this. This is weird. But I thought, okay, nobody else is alarmed by this. They must think this is normal. So I turned around and I closed my eyes. And about the time that my heart rate started getting back to normal because he quit shouting, I'm thinking, I'm going to have to ask Duane about that later. Well, this lady from across the church shouts. Second time shouting in church really freaked me out. And she said, I am the Lord your God. And that's all I remember because I'm thinking, I don't think so. That's not how I pictured him. But I just remember thinking, this is the weirdest thing ever. This guy's having a stroke and this woman's delusional and these people just think this is normal. And so has anybody else ever felt that way, honestly, if you're being truthful? Okay.
And I'm here with my eyes shut really tight going, oh, God, I'm going to have to explain this later. Please,
yeah.
Jesus.
So after church, we went and got in the car, and I won't repeat how I phrased the question, but I wanted to know what that was all about. And he said, what? What? So I wouldn't stop. And so when we got to where his mom and dad live, we went home, and he explained it to me and told me it was in the Bible, and I said that I didn't believe him. I'd never seen that before. So I asked him to just quit talking and show me in the Bible where it was, because I believed the Bible. And so he did, and I said, okay, now I need you to leave me alone. I want to read about this. And so I did, and I thought, okay, well, it's in the Bible. I didn't know that. That's kind of weird. But that's okay. I'm okay with it then. I'm not interested, but I'm okay with it. So fast forward a few months. Duane and I got married. We moved to that town, and we went to that church. And that happened occasionally in the services. And one night, after several months, they'd been teaching about it, it being baptism in the Holy Spirit, about him, the Holy Spirit, and that it was for every believer. And how the purpose of receiving this free gift of the Holy Spirit baptism was power to be his witness. And that the benefit was that we each have our own prayer language. We could communicate to God one-on-one in a language that no one else understood. And I'm old enough that in the day they explained it like a private phone line versus a party line. If you're younger than that, think of it like a secure connection. Nobody else can tap into that. I mean, that was real to me in the day. I loved party lines. But then they talked about how that was for every believer, that the Holy Spirit was available, that he would come in baptism, and that he would not only be with you, but he would be in you, and that you could have that direct communication. And I felt comfortable when they taught that I would be in control of my voice, that it's my voice, because I had these visions of being in Safeway grocery shopping and having these spontaneous overtake moments where I'd speak in tongues. I mean, I just wasn't, you know what I mean? That I didn't understand it. So I understood that I would be in control of that, but I really desired that communication with the Lord, because I just felt like there was something deeper. And so I went, there was a prayer time, and I went forward, and I was prayed for, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. But then week after week, I would go to church, and I'm still freaked out, because now I'm thinking, I'm going to have to do that. I'm going to have to yell in church. And everybody sounded different. I knew I didn't have to speak like that guy or whatever, but I was just uncomfortable. And then I felt guilty because it didn't happen, like I wasn't listening or wasn't spiritual enough or something. But what I didn't understand for a really long time, and I think it was until maybe when I read John Bevere's book, Drawing Near, that there are a lot of scriptural examples about being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues, and throughout the New Testament, but there are some really distinct differences. And like he said, two of the tongues used are for public ministry, when you're in a group or when you're one-on-one ministering to someone, and that there are two uses in your private walk with God. And in a little bit, that's what I'm going to share about. And anyway, wow, see, I freaked you all out because now we're all on high alert.
Yeah. And just one thing that Gretchen said, you know, about an outburst in Safeway. Can I just tell you, one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control? And you're in control of everything that you do in your body. Can I just tell you that? So he doesn't possess us, you know, and we're in control of that and whatnot. But anyways, what I wanted to share with you is quickly, and I think Pastor Jeremy shared this a few weeks ago, and I just kind of want to highlight it and just recover this just real quickly this morning. But the very word baptism is the Greek word baptizo, which means to immerse or submerge or to overwhelm. And so when we look at this in light of what the Lord's command was, Peter stands up on that day and he said, these people aren't drunk the way that you think they are. They're fulfilling the scripture that was listed by the prophet Joel in Joel 2:28. And here's what it says. And it came to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And and also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit on those days. So what these guys, what they were hearing and the things that they were doing is actually one of the public ministries of speaking in tongues, because they heard these men speaking in tongues, and they heard in their own language. They were from many nations and many things, from many areas around there. But then, you know, the Bible says that when Jesus was raised from the dead, and it says in 1 Corinthians 15 that he appeared to 500 believers, and then what's really interesting is he tells these people, you know, tarry in Jerusalem, don't leave there until you've been endued with power from on high. But there's only 120 by the time that this takes place, and so anyways, it's kind of an interesting thing. But it says when the day of Pentecost fully come, and that we have to realize that the reason it's called Pentecost wasn't because it's just that the fire fell that day that we read about in the scripture. Pentecost was actually a feast that the Jewish nation came together. It was a feast of the first fruits, and so they were there as a celebration when all this took place. But it is 50 days after Easter is what Pentecost is. Pentecost Sunday, most denominational churches practice a day called Pentecost Sunday, and so that's what it is. But the Holy Spirit comes upon these guys, they speak in other tongues, and so Peter gets up and he preaches that day, and the Bible says that because these men heard in their own language the message of the gospel, that day 3,000 people heard the message and they were baptized in water. It was a busy day for Peter that day. But under the inspiration, so let me just say this, because a lot of times people get confused with what prophecy is. Can I just give you a simple definition of prophecy? All it is speaking under divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now you say, what's divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit? Most of us probably in this room have been somewhere and you've been talking to somebody about the Lord, and you know, maybe you've been sharing or you've been saying something, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says into your heart, oh, you need to tell them this or you need to say this, and you're just like, oh, you know, and so you say it. Can I just tell you, that's divine inspiration. The Lord just gave you a word for them and spoke to you. So that's what prophecy is about. And excuse me. But there's a few instances that I want to draw your attention to that where people were baptized. And one of them is in this passage when Peter said to them, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord will call. Well, can I tell you that I've been called, you've been called today, or you wouldn't be here. You know, so when we look at it, is it for everybody? Yes, because that's one of the things that a lot of people will say and a lot of people will do. They say, yeah, but the Bible says that tongues are going to cease when the perfect comes. There's a lot of people that say, you know, tongues were just for that day so those people could hear that. There's denominations that preach that. But what I'm saying to you this morning is there's an additional work that the Holy Spirit does in our life. You cannot be saved without having Father, Son, Holy Spirit on the inside of your life. But the Holy Spirit, being baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, is an additional work that the Holy Spirit does. Now, there's a few instances in this. The first one is this passage of Scripture that we just read. The next one we find in Acts chapter 8. And one of the disciples, his name was Philip, goes to Samaria. And it says in the Scripture that when Philip goes to Samaria, that he preaches the good news of Jesus Christ, and people there believed. There were several miracles that happened. People were healed. People that were possessed by evil spirits, they came out of them. There were miracles that happened. And people, let me just read it to you. It says this, and multitudes with one accord listened to the things spoken by Philip, and hearing and seeing these miracles, which he did. For unclean spirits, crying out in a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed. Many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and with great joy, and there was great joy in the city. Then in verse 12 it says, but as they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus, and men and women were baptized. And so they believed what Philip said. Now in verse number 14 of Acts chapter 8, it says this, now when the apostles who were in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God and had seen that they were saved, they sent Peter and John to them, and when they came down and prayed for, and they came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he had not fallen on any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, it's kind of interesting right here because this is a passage that doesn't say that they actually spoke in tongues, but there's a sorcerer there named Simon, and when he sees the miracle that happened and he sees what took place and these people were speaking in tongues, I mean, the sorcerer, he's after money, and he's looking at these guys and he said, hey, I'll pay you to give me that power so I can see this happen. So the evidence is there of what's taking place, and they rebuke him, and you can read that down through in that. The next one is Saul of Tarsus, who we know became the Apostle Paul. He's on the road to Damascus, and he was there to destroy Christians. And as you know, in Acts chapter 9, he's on his way to destroy Christians in Damascus when he has a power encounter with Christ. And the Lord blinds him. And he says, and Paul or Saul says, Lord, who are you? And Jesus said to him, I am Jesus who you are persecuting. Then Saul says, Lord, what do you want me to do? In Acts 9:6, so a trembling and astonished, he said to the Lord, what do you want me to do? So here's Saul, and Jesus tells him what he wants him to do, and he goes into Damascus. He goes to a guy's house, and then he gives him this in Acts chapter 9, verse 10. Now, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and I've always thought I wouldn't have wanted to be this guy, but I'm glad that he was faithful to the Lord. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here am I, Lord. He said, arise and go to a street called Straight and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. So Ananias probably has this little conversation with the Lord, because I would have. Do you know who this dude is? I mean, he's like killing people that serve you, you know, and you're asking me to go right into there. And but the Lord gives him comfort, and he says to him, so he goes and he prays for him, and he says, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road has come to me and has sent me that you might receive your sight and that you be filled with the Holy Spirit." Now we see again, it's a separate occasion than him coming to know Christ. But then as we go down through, it doesn't say that the Apostle Paul spoke in tongues, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it does say, and Paul's the one that says that, "I speak in tongues more than you all." So it references there that that he speaks in tongues more than at all, and he said, "I wish that you all spoke in other tongues." Then in Acts chapter 10, we have a Gentile. Now remember, the Jews and the Gentiles had no dealings with each other whatsoever. And they just didn't have any dealings with each other. But there was a man in Acts chapter 10. His name was Cornelius. He was a Roman officer, and the Bible says that he gave alms and constantly feared God. And an angel appears to Cornelius and tells him, "I want you to send for this man named Peter." And so he tells him where he is. So Cornelius sends for Peter, and Cornelius gathers all of his friends and family. He comes up to his house. Peter comes up to his house and starts preaching. And now I think this is pretty amazing. It says Peter gets into this message that he's preaching. And in Acts chapter 10 in verse 44, it says, "While Peter is still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision, which were the Jewish people who believed, were astonished that as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also." How did they know it was? Because in verse 46 it says, "For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." Then Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So this is kind of fascinating, and just a side note as a thought this morning. I think it's interesting that God does this while Peter's preaching, because I don't think these Jewish people would have prayed for these people at all. They didn't have any dealings with the Gentiles. So God goes beyond that, and he'll always go beyond what we're comfortable doing, won't he? And so anyways, he fills these people, and they can't deny that the Holy Spirit had fallen on them in the same way. Then another passage of scripture we find in Acts chapter 19. This is when Paul goes to Ephesus, and we read in this, "It happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples there, he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?'" And I think this is an important question. And they say to him in verse number 2, "So they said to him, 'We have not even so much as heard that there is a Holy Spirit.' And he said to him, 'Into what were you baptized?' And they said, 'Into John's baptism,'" which was baptism in water. "Then Paul said, 'John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying that people should, that they should believe on him who would come after him, and that is on Christ Jesus.' When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." And they were saved, and they were baptized. Then in verse 6 it says, "And when Paul laid hands on them, just as he had laid hands on those before, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied." In other words, they spoke with divine inspiration, and they heard and they saw the evidence of it. So, you know, when we see this in the scripture, you know, and this is where people get a little bit weirded out by this. And friends, listen, I want us not to be weirded out by this. I want us to take what the scripture says, and I want us to wrestle with this today. You know, and sometimes we have to wrestle with things that the Lord says. But the purpose of receiving the Holy Spirit is to give power and to give evidence of who Jesus is, and to give evidence of the resurrection and power for witnessing. But he said this: you're going to know when it happens because it's going to be evidenced by speaking in other tongues. Now, I'm going to say something before I talk about these two public and two other reasons. I've had a lot of people, I've been an Assembly of God pastor and actually a senior pastor now for almost 25 years. And I have people all the time tell me, "I heard that the Assemblies of God believes that if you don't speak in tongues, you don't get to heaven." And that is untrue. The Assemblies of God has never taught that. And that is not one of our denominational doctrines. And friends, listen, the Bible says this, that you repent and you're going to go to heaven. You know, you look at it and they say, "Well, do you have to be baptized in water?" Well, you know, you could argue that, but the thief on the cross that was sitting beside Jesus, he wasn't baptized in water. And Jesus said, "Today you're going to be with me in paradise." So, you know, we add a lot of things that aren't there. And can I just tell you that there's a lot of things that are misconstrued? And I can just tell you this, that that one of the things that we do and that we know about this is that there's a lot of false things that are happening and a lot of teaching that is not of the Word of God. So let me just reference this morning and say this, and I'm going to tell you this as an Assembly of God pastor today, because this is a big deal to me, okay? And what's a big deal to me is this, is I've had a lot of people that have been baptized in the Holy Spirit that speak with other tongues that think that it's a badge, it's something that you put on your sash that make you look like you're more spiritual than anybody else. And I can tell you this, you are no more spiritual than anybody else, okay? And if anybody that is a part of our denomination have ever made you feel that way as your pastor today, I apologize for that. Because some of the people that I know that speak in tongues are the worst sinners I've ever seen. And you say, oh, I thought you weren't supposed to judge people. I don't judge people, but the Bible says by your fruit they will know you. And friends, listen, just because you talk in tongues doesn't mean that you're any more spiritual than anybody else. Okay, so here's the thing. If we're going to be people that are filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, then we need to use those gifts for what God intended them to use them for. So the first one is this, and we find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. There's two public, there's two private. The first one that we find in the scripture is this, and it's found in 1 Corinthians 14. But let me go back and read to you 1 Corinthians 13:8. It says, love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away with. And what that is saying there, and there's a lot of people that believe that when we received the scripture, that was the perfect and it came. Well, I can tell you this morning, this is the perfect word of God. It is inerrant, it's accurate, it was written by men who penned under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that penned these words. The Bible's very clear about that. But friends, what I'm saying to you in this, when we talk about that, is that Paul is talking in this, and he's saying this, that the perfect has come. And a lot of people believe that we're talking about this. Well, according to scripture and what we read, we go down to verse 11, and it says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but when the perfect comes, I shall know just as I am also known. And I really believe that what Paul's saying here is this, is that God's word is perfect, but when the perfect comes, it's Jesus Christ. It's going to be Jesus Christ. And friends, when we see him face to face and we know him as he knows us, right now we're endeavoring every day to know Jesus better. We're endeavoring every day to know the word of God and to know Jesus better. But one day when we're in our glorified bodies and we're in heaven and we're standing before Jesus and he sees us face to face, can I tell you that we're going to know him just like he knows us? And that's good news today, okay? So I want to just say that because a lot of people say, well, when the perfect comes, and there's been teaching that says that it's the scripture. It's not. It's when we see Jesus face to face. Then he goes on, and when we see him face to face. But the important thing in this is that it goes down and in chapter 12, and it says this. Now I will show you a better way. And then he goes into chapter 14, but I want to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And it says this in verse 28, and God has appointed these in the church, first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, variety of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret? And the reason they say this about tongues is because a lot of times we have not understood the two public reasons for what God gave us tongues for. And the first reason of the sign of tongues is a sign to the unbelievers. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it says, therefore, tongues are a sign not for those who believe, but for unbelievers. Now, I've heard testimony of people, I've had missionaries that I've talked to, I have people that I know personally, that when God gave them, and I'm going to call it their prayer language, and they begin to speak in other tongues, there's a missionary pastor that I know that pastored in Mexico, and he was deathly afraid of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but when the Lord filled him with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, God called him to be a missionary in Mexico. He went to Mexico. He felt very unqualified, and when he got there, here's what the Lord said to him. All I want you to do is stand on a corner. Now, I can just tell you, missionaries do more than this today. But he said, all I want you to do, this is 50 years ago or 60 years ago, I want you to stand on a corner and speak in your prayer language. He stood on a corner, spoke in his prayer language. He drew huge crowds, and people were getting saved. They were coming to Christ. And the reason was because the prayer language that God gave him was their native tongue. And so he was sharing this, and people were coming to Christ. Now, that I've heard that on more occasions. I've heard people personally talk about that. Being on airplanes, and somebody said to them, I want you to go talk to that person, and I just want you to talk to him and pray in the Spirit as you're talking to him. And they did. And they're sharing the Word of God. They're sharing the truths of the Scripture with these people. So it's a sign to the unbeliever. But then that's the first one. The second one is this, is it's a gift that God uses for tongues in the church. Now, we're a Pentecostal church, and occasionally we have a message in tongues and an interpretation. But when we use that gift in the church, it needs to be interpreted. Now, when we look at it, and friends, listen, Paul says this in the Scripture. He said, I'll pray in my understanding, and I'll pray in the Spirit. I'll sing in my understanding, I'll sing in the Spirit. There are times that people are praying, and they're worshiping the Lord, and they're praying in the Spirit, okay? I do it a lot on Sunday morning, standing down here. I just sing in the Spirit while we're singing these songs and whatnot, and then I sing in my understanding and these different things. But there comes a time, and we've heard it in our church before, when somebody, their voice rises above everybody else, they give a message in tongues, and can I just tell you this, that you're in control. You don't have to gobble like a turkey and shake and your head turn red, okay? It can be very calm. It can be very under control, all right? And this is the thing, and I think that some people get overtaken by their emotions and one thing or another. The Lord said that he wants our services to be orderly, and he wants them to be done decently and in order. And so those are important things. But those tongues are tongues that need to be interpreted. Now we say, well, what's an interpretation? Does that mean a translation? Because here's what I know. I've heard people give messages in tongues, and they go on for 5 minutes, and the interpretation is like, you know, the Lord would speak to you and say, come to me, I'm drawing close to you today, or whatever, and it lasts about that long. You know, and you're just like, well, let me tell you the difference between an interpretation and a translation, okay? If we were all standing out in the parking lot, and somebody ran that stoplight out there in Antler and 19th Street, and the police showed up, and they said, how many saw the accident happen? And we raised our hands, and we said, we all saw the accident happen. If 15 people all gave their testimony to the police officer, how many of you know that in essence it'd be the same, but all of us would have a different thing? That's called an interpretation. A translation is that we would say everything exactly the same, okay? So here's what I know. God moves upon you, and in your own language, in what God has given you to share, we interpret those things, and in essence, you know, and it's going to be the same deal of what God's trying to tell us. So there's two. There's one for the two public ones are for unbelievers, and the other one is for in the church publicly. Now here's what I want to say, and this is going to go a little bit longer because I'm just getting warmed up right here on this topic. And Gretchen's still got a couple things that she needs to share. Here's what I'm going to tell you as your pastor, that God's called me to be the spiritual overseer of this church, and I take that very seriously. And the Bible also says this, that when people are moving in the gifts of the Spirit, that we're to know those who labor among us, okay? And as your pastor, I want you to know I'm going to protect this flock, and I'm not going to let weird and wacky go on here, okay? I'm not going to let it happen. Now, some of you were in this church a few years ago, and here's what happened. We were standing here, and I was down there, and I came up to the pulpit, and it was time for prayer, and I really felt like the Lord had a word from us, and God's used me in giving messages in tongues, and God's also used me in giving interpretation, but I didn't feel like I was getting it, but God was saying, speaking to my heart, saying, somebody here's got a word, and so here's what I said, and some of you probably remember this. I said this. I said, I really believe that the Lord has a word for us today, so if we know you, and you're a part of our congregation, I said, if the Lord's given you this word, I want you to speak it out now. And a lady that I never had seen, had never heard, and as soon as she started speaking out, the hair on the back of my neck went straight up, and the Lord said, no, 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 on the inside of my spirit. And I said to her, I said, ma'am, I said, I don't know you. The Bible says that we're to know those that labor among us, and I need you to just be quiet. And she got louder. And I said, ma'am, I said, listen, the Bible says that we're to know those that labor among us, and I'm going to ask you to be quiet. Now, friends, here's the deal. Because God used me in those things, I've been in settings, and I felt like the Lord was speaking something to that church, but those people don't know me, and they don't know who I am from Adam. And friends, can I just tell you, I'm not going to do that with somebody that doesn't know me, that doesn't know my life, that's not familiar with me. So I said to her that, and then somebody else gave what the Lord wanted us to have. And can I tell you that after church was over that day, I got shellacked because I quenched the spirit. And I had very godly people come up to me and say, "You missed it, preacher," you know, and one thing another. And that family that day, we helped them with money. We helped put them in a hotel. We put gas in their car. We helped all of them. I come back from doing that, which took me 2 hours after church that morning. Come back, and my light was blinking on my message machine, and I never do this. I push the button. And a lady left three-minute messages on my phone that wasn't here that morning, but her kids were. And told me that I was the worst excuse as a pastor that she had ever seen, and how dare you even think. And just goes on and on and on and on, and my kids will never come back to that church, and my kids will this and that. Well, can I tell you that I have emotions just like everybody else, and I cried that day. And I went home and I said to the Lord, "Did I miss it? God, what did I do? Did I miss it?" And can I just tell you that the Holy Spirit speaks down into my heart and he says this. He says, "You're going to answer to me one of these days. You're not going to answer to anybody else. And I ask you to protect the flock, and you did what I asked you to do." And then after that, some good willing citizens that are a part of our church came and said, "Pastor, that was right on. That was good." But they didn't tell me that for a week later. But here's what I'm telling you. I'm going to protect the flock of God, okay? So if God uses us in those gifts, we want God to use those gifts, but we need to know you. You know, we need to know who you are. We need to know your life. We need to, you know, we need to understand that God's not going to use. The Bible says this, with the lips, with strange tongues that I'm going to speak to my people. He doesn't say with strange people I'm going to speak to my people. Okay? I'm just telling you, you know. And so we need to be careful with that. So, two public reasons, what are they? Signed unbelievers, and the other one is? It's tongues in a public setting, but it needs an interpretation, okay? Now here's the deal. People have asked me this all the time. Well, if somebody gives a tongue, what if there's no interpretation? Well, the Bible says this, that the same person that gives the tongues can give the interpretation. If you don't know the interpretation, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 13, then pray that God gives you the interpretation. So here's what I would think. You know, you sit in a setting this big and you think, well, if somebody gives a message in tongues, is there somebody here that probably can interpret? I hope so, but if you don't know for sure, then don't do it. Because it causes confusion. You following me? You mad at me? I'm just trying to tell you the truth here with love, because I love you and I'm trying to protect us. Amen. Gretchen, give us the two personal reasons.
Okay, this is one. These are the ones he asked me to share. Because these have been a really important part in my life, and probably a lot of you out here as well. So two private walk with the Lord reasons for tongues, and one of them is intercession, and I think I did these backwards. So this one is intercession in Romans 8, 26 through 28. The scripture says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." That's huge. The scripture right after that, more of us are familiar with, "And we know that all things work together for the good of those who are called according to his purposes," and on and on. So that scripture says, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God, says that the Spirit leads believers in harmony with God's will. Have you ever had a burden to pray for someone, but you either didn't know why you had that, or you just didn't feel like you had words to express what was on the inside of you, that deep burden? Or maybe you wanted to pray for somebody, but you didn't really know God's will over their situation, but you want to pray. Well, God knows, and he can intercede in the Spirit in your private walk with God when you pray in tongues. even if you're new in your walk with the Lord and you haven't felt that burden to pray like that for someone yet, Scripture is completely full of admonitions to pray. Pray for your leaders. Pray for ministry leaders here and around the world. Pray for your enemies. Pray without ceasing. It's just pray, pray, pray. And then he says, but sometimes you don't know how you ought to pray. And so Scripture teaches us that we can pray in the Spirit and pray through that way. I pray for people. I wake up in the night sometimes, and you probably do the same thing, with someone on your heart, and you don't know why, and I just immediately pray, and I'll pray in the Spirit. And sometimes I'll wake up and I think, I don't even know why I'm awake, so I just pray. And if you pray in the Spirit, you don't even have to know why. I've prayed for kids in dangerous work situations here in town. I've prayed for my daughter living 3,000 miles away when her husband's deployed in a war zone. I mean, things like that. You feel that burden, and all of a sudden you don't know what the need is, but you know God's asking you to pray. So it's for prayer, for intercession, in a way that you can pray the will of God. The second is for personal prayer, which results in personal edification, which means building up. And this is huge for me. And I think that's why you asked me to share this scripture. Because God desires his interaction with you to be deep and rich, he's made a way for you to fellowship with him on his level. 1 Corinthians 14:2 refers to the tongue of your personal prayer language. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. Verse 4, it says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. When we pray in the Spirit, we build up our walk with God on the inside, and we become sensitive to what God wants, what God loves, what God needs from us, what he needs us to not do. We hear his voice on the inside more easily and accurately. And I just wanted to stress the importance of Scripture, because I think it's easy to get into this area, subjectivity, where we feel like we understand the mind of the Spirit, but we need to be in the Word of God, mm-hmm. so we understand God and his character. Because in the Spirit, God will never ask you to do something in contradiction to his Word. Right. And I want to throw that out, because it's what you talked about, that our experiences don't dictate what we believe. What we believe in the Word of God will dictate our experiences. I shared an example in the first service of when Erica and I were in Chile years ago, and we were just in the middle of this really exciting opportunity to catch a cab in Santiago by ourselves and go downtown where the missionary was interpreting for David Wilkerson. And I was so honored and so excited to be part of this, but neither one of us speak Spanish. And we were headed out to the parking lot with a cab driver when I just felt the Lord on the inside of me, kind of, you know, that check that you have. And I just immediately started quietly speaking in my personal prayer language, and I felt such a strong don't go that I just stopped, and I took this piece of paper out of his hand, and I embarrassed my daughter. She's like, Mom, that was so rude. And I said, sorry, we're not supposed to go. And we went back, and the Lord arranged it differently. But there will be times like that when you'll have promptings from the Holy Spirit, because you're in tune with him. And I can't stress the importance of that personal relationship that way. Jude 20 says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And this is praying in tongues that gives us strength by building up that inner man, our spiritual man. This one is huge for me, and so much a part of my everyday life that I didn't even realize it until he asked me if I would share alongside of you. This is just part of my everyday life, and I'm not saying that to sound spiritual, and I'm glad that you mentioned that a little bit ago. I don't talk about that, but we should, shouldn't we? Because this is such a huge part of what brings strength to my life. I can't tell you how many times in the last 8 or 9 years, maybe especially, some of you know part of what we've gone through, but you don't understand all of the other challenges that we faced in the meantime. But you'll say, how in the world do you keep going and have anything left to give to people in the church and all of that? And it's Jude 20. Building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, and just knowing that I can empty off the weight of the things that burden me down and that create fear in my life, because we're real people just like you are. And be filled with his strength at the same time. It's just this cycle of flowing and filling. And I was reminded of the scripture this morning in John chapter 7, I believe it is, where Jesus is under big scrutiny. He's in the temple and they're questioning him. But it's a scripture where he said, if anyone thirsts, let him come after me. And there'll be streams of living water, you know, that come forth. And if you look that scripture up, it says, and this he was talking about for those believers who would later be filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, throughout scripture, we become familiar with these common scriptures, and we don't realize how intertwined all of this is. And I guess I just wanted to say in the end of it that we don't seek tongues. We seek God. We seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And I think our motives need to be pure, to have that faith in Christ, and that knowing that the purpose of it is to be, for power to be his witness. There's a couple people in this church sitting out here that you've known me for almost, well, there's a lot of you that have known me for almost 40 years. And if you would look back 40 years ago and understand the impact that the Holy Spirit has had on my life to be able to sit up here, Nancy, you're shaking, shaking your head. To share the importance of the Holy Spirit. I'm not a woo-woo person. They call me steady Gretty. Kind of boring. But that steadiness comes from being filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Thanks, Gretchen, for sharing that. So the last question, I had people ask me this. Yeah, but the Bible says not everybody's going to speak in tongues. And I just want to put that to rest and say this, that God wants everybody to have his Holy Spirit in their lives. Okay. And he has given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and he wants everybody to have it. Now, when he says not everyone's going to speak in tongues, he's talking about public ministry in the church. God's not going to give everybody that. Those are gifts that God sets in the body as he wills, it says in his word. But he wants all of us to have that personal prayer language. He wants all of us to be able to intercede in the Spirit. He wants all of us to have those things. So as we close today, and what I want to do is, I know that, you know, it opens a can of worms. And so anyways, we're always happy to answer anybody's questions. And we'll be here after church, Pastor Brian, Pastor Jeremy, myself. There's other people that can help you with this that know this. But the thing that I want to say is, I don't want people to be weirded out about it. You know, it's in the scripture. And some of you may have to say the same thing that Gretchen said. You know what? I just need you to be quiet, and I just need to go read what God's word says. And that's okay, all right? Because here's what I know, that sometimes we have to wrestle this out ourselves, you know, with what God has. But again, I close with what I started with. I just want all of us to have all that God has for us. And friends, here's what I know. The Bible says, and I just read it to you a minute ago in James, if we draw close to him, he'll draw close to us. He's already opened the door. He wants us to draw close to him. Don't be afraid to get close to Jesus. You know, don't be afraid to get close to him. He'll change your life forever. You know, he'll help you. And God will do some amazing things in your life. So let me pray for you today. Jesus, thanks for your love. Thanks for your word today. God, thanks for the privilege of being able to share with these guys. And Lord, these folks in this congregation, Lord, just to know, Lord, what your word says. And Lord, our purpose today, Lord Jesus, is not to push people. It's not to try and force people. But God, it's simply just to share the word of God and see what your word says about it. And then just asking you, Jesus, to do with what you would in our lives. God, I know that we are not here today if we didn't want to be closer to you. So Lord Jesus, even your word says that if a bad father knows how to give good gifts to his child, how much more will the Lord give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And Lord Jesus, I'm just praying today that, Lord, that there will be people here that would just ask. That, Lord, people would just seek your face. And, Lord, as Gretchen said a minute ago, we don't seek the tongues, Lord, we seek you. And we just want more of you today, Jesus. So, Lord, I just pray that, God, that as some of us have to go home and kind of wrestle this out a little bit, God, that we won't be gun-shy over it, but, Lord Jesus, that our hearts would be open, that our hearts would be receptive to you, and, Jesus, that we would just say, Lord, I just want all that you have for me. And so, Lord, I thank you for these precious people in this room. I love them, and I want your best for them. And God, I just pray today that you'll bless them, that you'll encourage them and strengthen them. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.